We continue the study on the question that's in several of a couple of our songs in our book, but why did Jesus come to earth? We'll pick up the answer to that question that Jesus gave himself, and that's kind of important, wanting to answer in his own words. And sometimes he answered in the negative and sometimes on the positive side. So picking up the story in the book of Luke. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 53 is the first one to look at this evening. So answer the question, Jesus, why did you come to earth? And here's the story in Luke 9, verse 53 is the start. It says, but they, the village of the Samaritans, they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man, here's our answer part to the question, why did Jesus come to earth? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They went to another village. There's a similar phrase of purpose for Jesus coming in Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Familiar story of Zacchaeus, where he goes to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus welcomes him. Zacchaeus says, you know, if I've done anything wrong, I'll restore it fourfold. And in Luke 19, verse 9, at the close of the story, Jesus said to him, to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So again, Jesus, why did you come? I came to seek to save the lost. The lost. Remember at Jesus' birth, the angel announced to Joseph right before the birth of Jesus, Matthew 1, verse 21. Says, and the angel said, and she'll bring forth a son, Joseph. You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Ah, salvation. Jesus, why did you come? Salvation. That's the next answer to our question. When you think about Jesus came to seek and to save, you're going to seek something, you're going to strive for it. You're going to go about. You're going to search. You seek something, you pursue. It's a diligent effort in looking. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save. By definition, even in Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, the word deliverance is used three times in that definition. So Jesus, what do you mean you came to save? Deliverance from danger, deliver from the bondage of sin, deliver from the wrath of God, to bring safely through, preservation, rescue, to safeguard, to keep secure. On the negative side, be not to destroy. I came to seek and to save the lost. Described in Romans 5, verse 8. Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Salvation again. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had unto you, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians. People have told us what manner of entry we had in our presentation to you. And then he says, and how you turned from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus, why'd you come? Seek and save. Deliver from wrath. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. The desire, salvation, comes for us. In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter said, there's salvation in none other. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Saved. But then that last word he used, seek, save the lost. The lost. In Mark 8, verse 36, Jesus asked the question, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We think about the lost. It's those who will lose a soul. A soul. In John 3:16, Jesus, or the Bible says, you know, God so loved the world. He sent his own Son, begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish. He came to seek, to save the lost. Our souls. Keep us from perishing. Providing a way of escape from the wrath of God. That was a song in our book. Put the emphasis on us, too. To number 639. Just want to sing, let's sing together the first and last stanza. 639. And the title song is Rescuing the Perishing. Yeah. Well, Jesus, why'd you come? Keep those from perishing. And here's the song.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save.
Jesus, why did you come to earth? do the will of the Father. And then when Paul writes to the churches, he said concerning that attitude that Jesus has, in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you. There's the application. It's fine to look at Jesus over there. I see you came to do your Father's will. And then Paul writes, I want that mind that you see in Jesus to be in you. Verse 8 of Philippians 2, it says, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 gives the same admonition. For to this you were called. Right, why? Right, what's my calling? At least in this text. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Right? Not literally. We don't need to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. But he left an example for us in attitude of life. In his relationship to the Father. Jesus, why'd you come? I came to do the Father's will. That's an example. Yeah. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's what we want to do. So we approach God with an attitude that Jesus had. So when we come before the Father in attitude and action, we would look up and we'd say, if you send, I'll go. Well, attitude toward the Father is, if you command, I'll obey. That's right. If you speak, I'm going to listen. The attitude of Jesus toward the Father. I came to do the Father's will. The last one I'll look at for this evening is in John, also still in John. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Thief, why did you come? Thief would answer, well, I came to steal. I came to kill, to destroy. But then Jesus takes the opposite and he says, I have come. Jesus, why did you come to earth? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I've heard people read that verse and they may respond, what do you mean have life, have it more abundantly? I have life. I have a life. I'm breathing inside and out. I inhale, exhale. I have life. What do you mean Jesus came to give me life? I have life. I have a good time. Jesus wants to add joyous eternal life to your physical life. I came to give you a different kind of life. One that's not just enjoying the pleasures of earth and the amusements, but now I want to give you a life in service to God. I want to give you a Christian life. See? And I can do that. I came to give you life, and more abundantly. You know, it's odd for me to think that the Christian life is not joyous. Or it'd be odd for me to think that the Christian life is not joyous. Why others think it is. It's not. Or I think it is, and others think it's not. That's odd to me. You think the Christian life is not joyous? Think the Christian life is not abundant? It's an odd thought. I cannot seriously believe that God would create a man and say that he would be happier in the service of the devil than he would be in the service of God. That's hard to understand. Wow. So Jesus said, yes, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we'll continue this series again next week, Lord willing. And we'll come and start within the John chapter 12, verse 27. He said, should I ask, save me from this hour to the Father? But for this purpose I came to this hour.
Meaning his crucifixion.
Wow. No, don't save me from this hour. I came to do that.
We'll talk about that in a little more depth next Sunday night, Lord willing.
Again, always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, and a song of exhortation. It's a song that we sing to give you time to reflect not only the message that you may have heard this evening, but other times, or the lessons you've been taught, the lessons you've been reading from the Bible itself. And if there's a relationship you need to change, we can accomplish that this evening. If you're not a Christian, I've been baptized for remission of sins. It's available. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest. Come and take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Abundant life. So that's the invitation we extend, always at the close of a lesson. If you're subject to it, that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply come at the close of this song. Let's stand together and we'll sing the song that Dennis is for us this evening.